is the one time that you can talk behind somebody's back, is when you start praising them behind their back. And you know what's amazing? It's incredible how that can get back to that person. And it can just make them feel good that, wow, he really said or she really said that about me. And how many of you know that it just changes the environment? It would make the world a lot more positive place to live. So if you're going to talk behind somebody's back, talk good about them.
Welcome to Grace Community Church On Demand, the weekly podcast from the Sunday services at Grace Community Church in Rupert, Idaho. Here at Grace, we believe in building the kingdom of God one person at a time. We're passionate about loving God, loving people, and following Jesus. Let's get into this week's message with Pastor Travis Turner.
We're in this series called Love Stinks, and you know, it's just a weird name for a series in a church, because the truth is it's all about love, isn't it? I mean, you could say Jesus equals love. Love is at the center of everything, and so love can stink if there's no communication, or communication is broken, right? You know, love can sometimes hurt whenever we don't bring the Lord into the center of it. Last week, I just touched briefly on the idea that communication can be a serious issue, or it can be a serious help in any relationship, certainly between a husband and a wife. Can I get an amen here today? Come on, the way you communicate, it can help your relationship or it can hurt your relationship. The way that you communicate with your friends or your family or in the workplace, it can help, come on, the relationships that you're developing, or it can hurt those same relationships. Last week, I shared some fun topics with you. One of those statistics being that couples typically will spend 4 minutes a day on average communicating, like deep communication with one another. That's 4 minutes a day. What that means to me is that some people spend a whole lot less than 4 minutes a day, and some, you know, may get all the way up to 6 to 8 minutes a day in meaningful communication. We learned last week that women tend to use twice as many words as men use. Not always. I was jabbing at Steve Latta. He's a talker. So in his house, you know, he probably uses just as many words as his wife does. But come on, just real quick. Have you ever noticed men that you've spent your words throughout the day, and then you get home and your wife has saved her 30,000 words for the evening? Come on, somebody. Okay, we won't touch it. I wanted to just give you a couple of scriptures just real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm not going to spend, you know, I'm just going to kind of condense it. But if you'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what you're going to find is love always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. Love always perseveres, and love never fails. Come on, this is the God kind of love. This is the kind of love that doesn't stink. Whenever we're committed, when we're faithful, when we're sold out, come on, when we work through the hard times, right? We live in a day and an age that we use the word love all the time, but it has no commitment. It has no follow through. It has no tenacity. I love 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, above all. All means all. That means above everything, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know what this means? This means love when it's not easy. Love when it's hard. It wouldn't tie love to a multitude of sins, come on, if there wasn't some sort of a struggle and a strain. Listen, people are going to do you wrong. People that you love, come on, that you've brought into your inner circle, maybe even between a husband and a wife, there's going to be moments, come on, where trust is broken. Do you know why it says above all love? because love covers a multitude of sins. Love says, listen, I know you've done something that's completely outside of your character, and I'm going to love you through it anyway. My love is not going to be circumstantial. It's not going to be performance-based. It's going to be committed love. I'm going to love you simply because I love you. How many of you know that that's what Jesus did? Come on, Jesus didn't wait for you to get your act put together and cleaned up and for you looking good and acting good before he said, yeah, this is my son or my daughter. He said, while you were in the pit, while you were in the mire, while you were nasty, while you were broken, bruised, and disgusted, right? He loved you. He loved you. While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And I just absolutely love that. When relationships struggle, I want you to know that communication even becomes more difficult. When you're going through it, maybe even between sisters, you know what I mean? There's a struggle, something's been said, or something has been done. If you think communication is difficult, you know, when everything's good, wait until somebody's done something wrong. And then all of a sudden, the communication, the relationship's gonna struggle even more. You know, we ask questions like, what should I say? Should I say anything? Should I do anything? We coin phrases like, man, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells around you because I don't know how to approach you. And if I do approach you, like I said, I don't know, you know, how I should say things or what I should talk about. There's many people that will just shut down and stop engaging altogether. Have you ever seen that? It's like, you know, I call it passive aggressive. You know, you're in the same home or you're at the workplace and something's been done or said that the other person didn't, you know, they didn't receive real well. And so now they just shut you off. They just quit talking to you. And they're using all kinds of body language. I mean, they're conversing, but they're just not conversing verbally. In fact, I would just like to hit just real quick. Communication has three parts. It's verbal, it's what you speak, right? It's the very words that come out of your mouth. But how many of you know that you also, there's a tone that goes with the words that you speak? And how many of you have ever talked to somebody and the words that they were speaking and their tone didn't match up? You know, has that ever happened to you? It's like you're saying this, but your tone is saying that. It's like maybe you ask your wife, hey babe, do you love me? Man, you ever ask your wives that? Hey, no? Am I the only one? That's weird. Maybe I'm always just searching for affirmation. You know what I mean? I always need just like some support. Hey babe, you love me? And then you get something back like, yeah, I love you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she doesn't do that, but your tone and what you're saying, the idea is for those things to match up. And then you throw body language in there. Like you could have the right words and the right tone, but your body language is screaming something completely different. The idea is that all three of those things match up. And can I just encourage you, start with your body language. Like if you're going to say something, if you're going to, you know, start with putting a smile on your face. A smile will go such a long way. Can I get an amen this morning? Amen. All right. So today we are going to scratch the surface by giving you a couple of tools. I'm wondering here today if anybody has ever been misunderstood in sending a text message. Has that ever happened to anybody? Right? I've got some great stories of sending out text messages where autocorrect has messed me up. And the unfortunate thing is I sent it out to a group of about 150 people, and it was very embarrassing. I'm just going to leave it at that. But there have been times where I have even sent a text out, and somebody has responded to me and said, why are you mad, or why are you angry? I'm like, I'm not angry. I'm not. Well, the way that your text read, I just thought you were upset with me. And there have been times where I've been excited, and I will do all caps. Like I'll be, oh, this is so great. And then I've received a text message back. Why are you yelling at me? I'm like, I'm not yelling. I'm just excited. And so can I just give you a bit of advice that will go a long ways? Never have a serious conversation over texting. You say no, but it happens all the time. It's like, you know, we get into these deep conversations over texting and there's no tone and there's no body language. And so the percentage of you being misunderstood greatly increases. And so please don't have any serious conversations over texting. Come on, that's good advice right there. So 5 points to communication. I just want you to know that today is really more about just ice breaking, just kind of having a good time. You know, we're not going real deep into anything, but I'm telling you this, if you will use these 5 points of communication, and there's so many more, but I'm telling you, it will help your relationships. I promise you. I promise you, if you apply these, it will absolutely help. Number one is be interested in what others are interested in. Be interested in what others are interested in. You know, you take a church our size. I mean, we're not huge by any means, but you take a church of our size, and there is a lot of different interests in our church. And I've literally been in a group conversation, and one couple was asking another couple, hey, I've got 4 tickets to the races over in Twin Falls. Would love to have you and your wife go with us. And the other couple that was being asked said, no, we really don't like the races. And I'm just thinking, what a great opportunity that could have been. You know, really what it was a missed opportunity, because maybe it wasn't about the races. Maybe it was about just spending some quality time, getting to know some people on a deeper level. You know, the truth is the next best relationship that couple could have had could have been in and through them saying, yes, we would love to go, even though they weren't particularly interested in the races. You see, we live in a culture today where we force people, if they want to have a relationship with us, then they have to meet us on our turf and in our territory. And it's terrible. Come on, take interest in things that are different than you, in people that have different interests than you have. And then there's going to be a richness and relationships. You're going to connect with people in a way that you never thought you could connect with. Amen? And I encourage you to take this even to your family unit. I was thinking about this in my office this morning, that I've had my first grandson of many to come, grandchildren. That's prophetic. I'm speaking it into existence. But I've got the first one. The first one is here, and his name is Stetson, and I love Stetson. Stetson, to me, he's just the cat's meow, man. There's an open door policy between my wife and I that anytime we can have Stetson overnight, they don't even have to ask. All they have to do is just show up and drop him off. I mean, we just love that little guy. You know, looking at Stetson, I can tell already he just celebrated his 1 year birthday. 1 year old. He's 1 year. And come on, that's right. It seems like just yesterday. I can tell that he's a lot like his dad. He's got a lot of the same traits as his dad. Like we've already got a whole room of toys that's Stetson's room. It's like he's one. And we've got just stuff like tractors and you know, you would think if you come over to my house when he's playing, you would think that Tina and I are farmers just because of all the farm stuff and equipment and toys and stuff that we have for Stetson. But let me tell you what I observe him, and Stetson, he is, you know, he'll take any toy, and he'll be studying it. It's like, how does that work? And he'll be lifting it up and checking it out. And I'm just telling you, that kid is going to be just like his dad. His dad is a farmer, and his granddad has been around farm stuff on the other side, and his great-granddad is a farmer. And so I can just tell you that Stetson is geared like his dad. How does this run? Very mechanically minded. I don't have a mechanical bone in my body. I'm like, when I take something apart, it's just broken forever, because there is no possible way that it's going to come back to being usable ever again. It's not going to happen. I'm one of those guys, and I don't follow instructions well. These are all my shortcomings. I'm just sharing. So I buy something, it needs to be built and put together. I'm the guy that has bags of stuff left over. You know, they have a home in whatever it is that I've built, but who knows where the home is. And so, but this is what I can tell you. I can just tell you this. I am going to take interest in what Stetson is interested in because I want to be a part of his world. I can guarantee you I'm going to be at his dad's shop messing around with tractors. I'm going to be like, Stetson, just tell me if you need anything. He'll be like, go give me that widget. I'm like, okay, what does it look like? I'll be happy to go get it for you, but just tell me what it looks like. And the reason is because I want to be a part of his world. I want to be interested in the things, come on, that he's interested in. And I'm just telling you, relationships and communication will go such a greater distance if we don't make it always about me. If we can make it about you, then our relationship is going to go a lot further. You know, this morning I was just thinking about farming, and I just looked up. I knew that there was like some farm language. And this is good for you to know, living in the area that you do. And most of you already know this, but I thought some of these were really cute. Farmers have a language. You need to know this. Like down the road in the city, like means like a couple houses down the road, like maybe the next block. Down the road, I looked up, it's a rural unit of measurement. In the city, it could be a block or even a couple of houses. But in Idaho, just down the road could easily mean 10 or 20 miles. Right? So you need to know this. If you're coming to the area, you know, and this is, you need to know this. They say down the road, don't start walking. This is a good one. I thought this was cute. Dinged up a little. And I think of George Kelly. I think of George Kelly whenever I read this one. George could have his leg almost like hanging off, like barely attached. And he'd be like, oh, I'm all right. I'm just dinged up a little. But dinged up a little, this is what this means. It can describe a broken leg, cracked ribs, or a concussion. A farmer who has just dropped a drawbar on his foot. I don't even know what a drawbar is, but if you tell me what it looks like, I'll go get it for you. I promise you. A farmer who has just dropped a drawbar on his foot, gashed his head on the underside of a combine, or kicked by a horse may admit that he got dinged up a little bit. I love that. I just absolutely. And then I'll give you just this last one. Hardly broke in. This is a good one. Hardly broke in. Hardly broke in means it can refer to a farmer's 16-year-old pickup truck with 212,000 miles on it. Or his favorite pair of patched and grease-stained coveralls with one elbow torn out completely. Or those boots with the duct tape toe. They're just broke in a little bit. I love that. So communication, come on. It's important to take interest in what others are interested in. Number two is this. Praise the people that you live and work with. Come on, we praise people all the time. How about them Eagles? Come on. Who was for the other team? There was like one weak from the back row. Who was it? No. Come on, how many of you didn't care about the game, but you were just like, Justin Timberlake? Weird. That's funny. We praise people all the time. We compliment people all the time that we don't share life with. And I just want to encourage you, start praising the people that are in your circle. Catch people doing something good. Why can't we start focusing on what people are doing good instead of the one or two things that we wish were different? Right? And this starts even in the home. Sometimes we can become critical because we love our kids so much that we want them to be perfect. Guess what? They're never going to be perfect. Right? You know, when I start getting critical about my kids, all I have to do is quickly remind myself of where I was when they were when I was their age. And I just, like, my whole attitude changes. My whole attitude changes. But I encourage you to start finding the good, come on, in the people. And I'm by no means am I saying that we don't need to bring correction to our children, right? We do, right? We correct them. The same reason why God corrects us, because he loves us and we love them and we want them to, you know, be productive citizens that have a relationship with Jesus, right? How many of you know that's the most important thing that you can teach your children, is to learn to fall in love with God and God's word, right? That deserves a little better than the one that was really, come on, put your hands, that's a good. And don't just praise them when they're present. You know, if we could start praising people behind, like, this is the one time that you can talk behind somebody's back, is when you start praising them behind their back. And you know what's amazing is it's incredible how that can get back to that person, and it can just make them feel good that, wow, he really said, or she really said that, you know, about me. And how many of you know that it just changes the environment, and it's a lot more positive. It would make the world a lot more positive place to live. So if you're going to talk behind somebody's back, talk good about them. I love this. I'm not going to share all of Philippians 4, but I encourage you to read all of Philippians 4. But, you know, basically you can tie. There's a lot of things that it talks about there. But you could say, if there's anything praiseworthy, think upon these things. You know, if you can start focusing, come on the good things in somebody's life, you know, I call it find and focus. If you can find the good and focus on it, come on, it will go a long way. It creates a great environment. Number three is this: be approachable even with hard conversations. Be approachable even with hard conversations. Listen, by no means am I saying be a doormat to critical people. How many of you know there's just sometimes critical people in our world? They just criticize just to criticize. You know, they're going to be the ones that if they're going to have anything to say to you, it's going to be something negative. It's going to be some bit of, you know, correction or I think it should be this way. They're just critical, or I don't like how you did this and I don't like how you said that, or you could have done this a lot better. There are people in the world that just have a critical spirit. And I'm not saying by any means be a doormat to those people, but can I just tell you, there should be relationships that you have the right to be honest with you. Amen. You should have some relationships in your life that you've known, what you've built some trust between each other, that they have the right to be honest with you. They have the right to have the hard conversation, right? Come on, how many people do you have in your circle that can come to you and talk to you about the hard things, like maybe raising your kids? Oh, now we're off. Nobody's going to tell me how to raise my children. Should you have somebody come alongside every now and then because they care enough about you and say, hey, listen, I think you're being a little bit hard. Or your wife, she seems a little neglected. Is there anybody that you would receive that kind of information through? Yeah. I'm telling you, these are touchy topics, but I'm telling you this, that whole, you know, iron sharpening an iron as one man sharpens another, or one woman, you could, you know, it's broad, but who do you have, come on, in your life that can tell you no? You see, because we live in a culture where we just gather people around us that tell us exactly what we want to hear. And then if they say something, listen, this is exactly how our culture is. If they say something that we don't like, well, we're just not going to deal with them any longer. Oh, let me just say this. Oh, I went to that church and they just began to talk about stuff that I didn't quite agree with. And so I'm just going to go to the church down the road, right? This is our culture. It, like in the fight or flight, everybody's flying, everybody's fleeing, everybody's, you know, there's no accountability. I loved it a few years ago. There were so many people. We just need accountability. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, yeah, we really need accountability, because I've seen accountability work at its finest. And let me tell you what it looks like. Hey, will you be my accountability partner? I need somebody to help me with my pornography problem, or I need somebody to help me with this or that. And then all of a sudden, you reach out to hold them accountable, and they just don't accept your phone call anymore. and they can't be found. You know what I'm saying? You got to run them down. You got to go to their house, and even that doesn't work. You see them hiding in the... That's accountability at its finest. Not saying it shouldn't be, you know, it is an answer, but you're only going to be accountable to the things that you want to be held accountable to. The easier that you make it for your boss to have the hard conversation with you, the longer you're going to have a good paying job. Let me just say this, because it came to me this morning, and I'm just going to share it here. Church our size, I believe it's possible that the only reason why some, maybe even in here, have not been promoted is because you're not teachable and you're not coachable. And whenever it comes to having a hard conversation, you just shut down. And I'm just saying that your income can be tied with your ability to be coached through some things. Like, you may know the job better than anybody else, but that boss or that supervisor saying, listen, anytime something comes up where I have to bring some correction, they just don't receive it. And I can't help them to grow. I can't help them to develop. And so even though you're the most qualified person, come on, to get the promotion, you're looked over. And I'm just saying that it doesn't have to be that way. So be approachable even with the hard conversation. The truth is if somebody's honest with you, it's probably because they love you and they care for you. And let's try to look for the best in people. And then when somebody's honest, this is just extra. When somebody's honest with you, please don't exaggerate what's being said. Right? I'm just going to give... You know, I don't know what a good... Okay, somebody asks you, hey, should I wear these pants? Are they a little tight? And you're like, and you're careful how you answer. And you're like, well, I probably just wouldn't wear them today. And then they exaggerate it. And they were like, and so, oh, I'm just the biggest person in the world. I can't even wear... Right? Don't exaggerate what's being said. When you exaggerate what's being said, what that is it's a defense mechanism. And the moment that you exaggerate what's being said, the conversation has ceased. Like, you cannot go any further. It is literally stopped. And people exaggerate what's being said all of the time. Come on, it will limit you. So instead of exaggerating, seriously go to the Lord and ask Him to help you with whatever insecurity that you have. Is that all right? Come on, how many of you know that the Lord can heal us and He can help us, right? And He can take those, you know, because this is the thing, when somebody has a hard conversation with us, it hurts sometimes because we feel like we're exposed. Well, just allow it to be exposed and don't try to cover it up or shift the topic to something else, because once again, God might be growing you in an area or two. So ask God to help you with this insecurity. Number four, clarify what you're trying to accomplish. Men, I can just say this, that every conversation doesn't require action. And we think it does, or at least I think it does. It's like you're having this conversation with me because you want me to do something about it. And that's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, people in our lives, they have the conversation just so that we can be aware. And can I say that when you're clarifying what you're trying to accomplish, please try to use as few as words as possible. Have you ever been visiting with somebody and they're setting up the conversation, like they're setting up where they are, and it takes them 10 minutes to set it up, but you had it figured out in 30 seconds? Right? Is that... I see pointing fingers and stuff already. Ooh, a broken finger now. but yeah, try to be precise. Try to be clear and try to, you know, share what you're sharing as effectively. And so a lot of times people will use too many words, but how many of you ever talked to somebody that used too few words? Right? You have to be like a professional interrogator just to figure out what they're doing tonight. You know, you ask a question, they give you a one-word answer. You ask a question, they give you a one-word answer. You ask another question, you ask it differently, they give you a one. Sometimes it's a nod, sometimes it's a grunt, sometimes it's a, right? And so please don't make people that are close to you, you know, heighten their interrogation skills. Enter into the conversation, and I promise you it will help you out. Number five is this: seek to understand, not just to share your opinion. I don't mean this could come across a little harsh, and it's not meant to be, but the truth is sometimes people share their opinion when it's not asked for. This is how you'll know if somebody is desiring your thoughts. They're going to say something really incredible like, "What do you think about this?" They will ask, they will engage, they will say, "Hey, listen, I'm thinking about this or that. What are your thoughts?" But can I tell you, there's a lot of times in life, and we have to allow the people that we share life with to make some decisions by themselves. Sometimes people are going to share information with you just because they want you to be up to speed on something that they're doing. It's more about the information being distributed than it is about, you know, a discussion. And so seek to understand and not just to share your opinion. Once again, some conversations are just informative. And how many of you know, listen, I've done this. We've all probably done this. We've probably jumped the gun. You know, I've walked into a middle of a room before. There's probably been a conversation going on for a half hour, 45 minutes prior to me getting there. I come in, you know, the fix-it guy, and you hear just a couple of words, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Oh, I know exactly what we," and then you open your mouth and you start speaking to the situation, only to find that you misunderstood completely what the conversation was about. And then you just simply just bow out. "I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have even come in here," right? And so we all have done it. I'm just saying, let's be careful. The book of Proverbs, chapter 18 and verse 2, it says this: "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion." Come on, your opinion, when you jump in when it's not asked for, it lacks context, details, or experiences. And whenever we share when it's not asked for, we can lose credibility. You know, I did a funny thing. I was like, what jobs have, and it gave me a whole list, but I'm just going to give you some of the top ones. I did a Google search on what jobs, you know, are filled with people that know it all. And anyway, I love this. The first one that came up were politicians. I love that. And if you're a politician here today, it's not talking about you. It's talking about somebody else. But politicians have all the answers, and hairdressers have all the answers, and cashiers have all the answers, and lawyers have all the answers. And then it said something funny. It said people who wear makeup. I didn't understand that, but. I'm just joking. I put that in there. I was just joking, though. I was just joking. I feel the heat. Okay, so in closing, this is what I just want to share with you. I want to share with you, within our conversations, our desire should be for the relationship to get better, to move along, to end well. The conversation, the desire should be for it to end well. And if you're in a place where you're just stinking mad, and you're not even looking for the conversation to end well, you just want to vent, then maybe that's not the best time to have the conversation. Maybe it's not the best time to enter into dialogue with somebody. Can I just tell you this, that you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth. And I want you to know, church, that people are looking at you, people study you, people evaluate you. I can remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus, I was working at a company called Micron Electronics in Meridian, Idaho, and I was selling computers. And before I had given my heart, my life was very, very different. I was just running hard. My words weren't the best words. My interests were, you know, about the whole party scene and just things like that. And then I give my heart to the Lord. And of course, everything started to change in me. The friends that I hung around with, my conversation, you know, my vocabulary changed. I would like to think that I was learning to love people a little bit better. But over that first 6 months, I would literally have people come up to me just one by one. And it was usually when we were by ourselves. And they would just simply just ask me, what's gone on with you? What's going on? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they said, you're just different. You're just different. You don't even seem like the same person. The door for me to share what Jesus had done in my life and was doing. It was just at the beginning. I mean, I was still a royal mess. Probably could be called a royal mess even today sometimes, but that's okay because I'm getting better. But I'm just telling you that people noticed, and they noticed, you know, they noticed in the way that I carried myself, and they noticed mainly in and through my language. And how I began to treat other people. You know, before I was very selfish, and they could see, they could identify pockets of me not being selfish anymore. And it's just opened up. I'm just telling you, church, that there are people that are watching you. There are people that are examining you. There are people that have taken interest in you, and they see that you've got a testimony, and it's because of the way that you conduct yourself. Your yeses are yeses, and your noes are noes. You know what? In communication, let's stick just with the Word of God. If your yes is yes, then say it's yes. You know what I'm saying? If somebody asks you something, tell the truth. Don't exaggerate it. Don't try to soften it. Just try to be honest. How many of you know honesty in a relationship goes a long ways? Right? We had a beautiful service, funeral service for Lisa yesterday here. And I'm just so grateful for the family being here today. Thank you guys so much for being here this morning with us. And it was a lovely service. What made yesterday so special to me was the comments that everybody was sharing. All the beautiful things that were said about your daughter, your granddaughter. It was amazing. But there was a gentleman that had come up to me after the service in the lobby, and he come and visited with me for a second. He just said, thank you for serving the family so well. And he just lives right down the road here. And he said, I've lived here since 2006. And he said, I've been wanting to come into the church for a long period of time, and I've wanted to come and have a conversation with you, and I never have. And he come up to me and he said, I've seen all the changes that have taken place over the last, you know, 7 or 8 years. And he just said, you know, it was really nice to be here. And I invited him. I said, listen, you come anytime. We would absolutely just love to have you anytime that you can make it. Why do I share that? I'm sharing that solely because there are people that are paying attention to your life. There are stories that go out about who you are as a person. People hear things about you that they've never met you. They've never had a conversation about you. There was another lady yesterday at the service, after the service too, in the hallway. She said, I've been wanting to come, you know, to the church. You know, I belong to another church. I said, that's okay. You just keep going where you belong. But she told me something that was beautiful. It was the best. She literally made my day yesterday. She said, Pastor Travis, little older lady, she said, Pastor Travis, do you know what I love about you? And I've never met this person in my life except for yesterday. She said, you take time for people that don't even go to your church. Amen. It doesn't matter about what church they go to. You, and I just looked at her right in her face and I said, you have made my day. That was the most sweetest thing that I've heard in a long time. And thank you for that. She said, I appreciate you. Why? Because you take time for people that don't even go to your church. There are people that are watching. There are people that are hearing. There are people that are examining. And guess what? You're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And God will use your life, come on, to elevate Him in their life. Yeah. Right? Yeah. They're watching. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. They're paying attention. And it doesn't take an awful lot to stand out, right? But let's be sold out for the things of God. And let our communication, you know, show that we're not perfect. We're not trying to be something that we're not, right? We're not trying to put on some facade like we've got things figured out when we don't. But let's love people. And let's enter into relationship and let's expose ourselves. Let's be a little vulnerable in how much we share with people. I'm just telling you, God can use it. God never called us to be a reclusive. He never called us just to, you know, just to hide in the shadows. Amen.
That's it for today's teaching. Hey, here's an idea. Share today's message with a friend or family member. If you're listening from outside our fellowship, we'd love to meet you. Visit graceid.org and hit the contact form to get in touch. We'd also love for you to join us. Services are Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m., as well as our Wednesday evening service at 6:30 p.m. You can even check us out on Facebook Live by searching Facebook for Grace Church Rupert ID. Learn more and plug in at graceid.org. Thanks for listening to this week's message from Grace Community Church.